Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
And what I want to do is in the next few moments, I want to talk to you about something that I think is exceptionally important for every single believer. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. He is working in our life, and especially a second work that he wants to do in your life, in my life, on an ongoing basis. And if you've never experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you've never received the Spirit, that second work of the Spirit in your life, then tonight you're in for something absolutely awesome. How many would say you want all that God has for you? That if God's got something for you, you want it. Well, the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke about this work of the Spirit as the gift of the Father in Luke chapter 11. And he said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So tonight I want to talk to you about that. I don't know that we'll get all the way through my notes, but we're going to talk for a little bit, then we're going to pray for a lot more and allow you the opportunity to either receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit for the very first time or to be refilled, because there's many tonight who have received, but you need a fresh touch of the Lord. You need a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit on your life. So what I want to do is I want to just kind of paint a little bit of background for you. The book of Acts talks about the importance and talks about the activity of the Holy Spirit frequently. And when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the third person of the Trinity. God is three persons. There's Father, there's the Son, Jesus, and there is the Holy Spirit. Each of the persons are equal, each of them are eternal, each of them existed together in eternity before eternity began. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. At salvation, the Holy Spirit is that person of the Godhead who takes up residence in your heart and in my heart. Jesus is not in your heart. Now, I know people at times have been taught that, but theologically, Jesus doesn't live in your heart. He is where? He's at the right hand of the Father, where he's making intercession for us, praise God, right? So he's praying for you. But God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He is called in some places the Spirit of Christ, but he is a distinct person separate from Christ. At your salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. This is what makes your spirit alive to God. Romans chapter 8 says this in verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. In other words, if you're saved, you don't have to be controlled by the sinful nature. Why? Because the Spirit lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it's not talking about Jesus' Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit Jesus has talked about. He does not belong to Christ. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, it's because you weren't saved. So we're not talking about him living in you. We're talking about him filling you. And there's a difference. As well, in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So your body's a temple, and God lives in you. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. He lives in us. But following salvation, though the Spirit of God lives in us, there is a second work of the Holy Spirit where he empowers you, where he clothes you with power, where he comes upon you. And when that happens, not only does something happen internally in you, but there is a sign externally that something has happened to you. Now, as we talk about this, I think it's really important because sometimes either A, people have never heard about it, and it's almost easier to talk to people who've never heard about it because they don't have any preconceived ideas. Then there's people who've heard about it, and they've heard things that aren't biblical, or they've come from a theological background that cannot be supported biblically. And then there's some people, and they've just kind of thought, well, you know, I think this. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter what you or I think. It matters what the Bible says, right? So we have to be very, very careful that when we create our doctrine, when we build our theology, that we're building it on the Bible, not on what we think or on our personal experience. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I just know this. This is what I've experienced. Well, you can't create doctrine or theology on your experience, or you'll find yourself getting way off track. Everybody with me on that? So, when we're building theology, the study of God, our understanding of God, when we're creating our understanding of what God does, our basis for that is one thing and one thing only, and that is the Word of God. Where the Word of God is clear, we must stand firm. Where the Word of God is not clear, we need to be careful not to become dogmatic, right? So if it's not in the Bible, I'm not much interested in it. If it's in the Bible, I'm all about it, right? Now, when it comes to this work of the Spirit in the life of a believer, the book of Acts tells us about the early church, and it tells us how these common, ordinary people did extraordinary things, and the Bible makes it clear that it happened because the Spirit of God came upon them and empowered them. If you and I want to live an extraordinary life for God, if you and I want to live a supernatural life for God, then we need supernatural power. And we need to allow Him to do a supernatural work in our life. In the book of Acts, it talks about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and it uses several different terms, and we're going to look at them. I'm going to give you seven different terms. I think they're interchangeable. I think they're synonymous, but the Bible gives them to us because they beautifully describe what it means to receive the Spirit, how we receive the Spirit, and what it does to us or what happens in us as the Holy Spirit fills us. And again, He lives in us, but now He clothes us with power. In Acts, there are five times that we read that people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And each of those times show us that something didn't only happen to them internally. Because, and the reason why I say this is some people say, well, I just think when the Holy Spirit fills you that you just, maybe what you experience is just love. Well, I think you should experience love. He's poured His love into us by the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 5 says. So certainly, who's against love? I mean, love is a good thing, and that's one of the fruit of the Spirit is love is the first thing mentioned as the byproduct or the produce of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer in Galatians chapter 5. But what we're talking about here is when He does something in you, there is, according to Scripture, an external manifestation that is obvious to people. You say, what is that? People, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in a language they don't know. Now, what is that language? And sometimes that throws people because they're like, well, I heard somebody and it didn't sound like a language to me. Well, you know what? Paul says this. Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels. So sometimes people, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, are speaking a language they don't know that is either extinct on the earth or is currently in use on the earth. So we've seen that happen many, many times over our ministry where people were speaking in tongues, somebody heard it who was from another part of the world, and it was directly to them in their own language they heard it. So we know that happens. That's happened many times. It can also be the tongues of angels. You say, well, what are those? Well, I don't know. If I knew, then you would know. I mean, it's a language that angels speak. Or Paul says this, when a person prays, their spirit prays. So it could be a language of their spirit. All of that to say this, I think it's important that we don't get hung up on evaluating what the sound that is coming out of our mouth is. So it doesn't sound like language. Listen, just let the Spirit of God work through you. Let him have his way with you in that. Don't get caught up on whether you understand or it sounds like this or sounds like that, because that's not productive, nor is it essential in having the Holy Spirit touch your life. As the Holy Spirit touches your life, when you have been filled full to overflowing, you'll speak in a language you don't know. And you have to settle that in your heart, because this is the clear teaching of Scripture. So if you have a different opinion, my challenge to you would be, tell me where you find that in the Bible. But honestly, you would be very hard-pressed to deny speaking in tongues from the Bible. Some people say, well, you know what? It says there will come a day when tongues will no longer be, now I know in part, then I'll know fully, even as I'm fully known. What Paul's talking about there, and people who don't believe tongues are for today say, well, knowing fully, we have the Bible now, so now we know fully, and now because we have the Bible, we don't need to speak in tongues. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is not talking about when we have the Bible. He's talking when I get to heaven. Then I'll know fully, even as I am fully known. When I see Jesus, I'm not going to need to speak in tongues. I'm gonna have an understanding. I'm going to have a capacity that's totally different. Everybody with me now? I realize I'm talking fast, covering some things without putting scriptures on the screen. So I'm just kind of setting the stage, just talking with you. Everybody okay with that? Okay, let's look at the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, there are five different instances of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and three of them clearly say people spoke in tongues when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The other two clearly imply that people spoke in tongues. Okay, Acts 2:4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's the day of Pentecost. People are filled with the Spirit, they speak in tongues. Second example be Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Peter is speaking to a group of Gentiles. To this point, Gentiles, non-Jews, have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. While Peter is speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the circumcised believers, that is the Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know the gift of the Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles? How did they know? For they heard them speaking in tongues. He says, well, it says, and they were praising God. They were speaking in tongues and praising God. If you've spoken in tongues, you know that you'll find yourself alternating between speaking in tongues and praising God. That's how that manifests itself. That's what happens. So they heard them speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, you have a very interesting story. This is of Paul, and he's on the interior road toward Ephesus. And while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior, arrived at Ephesus, and there he found some disciples and asked them, hey, what's the weather like over in Ephesus? No, he's not interested in that. Hey, what do you all do for a living? No, he's not really interested in that. Hey, what country are you all? He doesn't care about any of that. Paul meets you. He's never met you before. Here's the first thing he's going to say. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? What's that tell you about the priority and the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit if the one thing Paul cares about when he meets people that he perceives to be disciples or followers of Christ, what's the first thing he's going to ask them? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? How critical, how important must the infilling of the Holy Spirit be if Paul doesn't, he dispenses with the small talk, and Paul wants to know one thing, have you received since you believed? They answered, no, we hadn't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, oh, whoa, something's wrong here, because if you're a Christian, you should know about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, so he goes right into that. Verse 6 says this, and when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. How do they know that? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. So three times, the Bible has a principle in the Old Testament, in the mouth of two or three witnesses is a fact established. If you find something repeated two or three times and it's consistent, then you understand that that is a fact, that that is a truth. Now, there's two more times that we know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One is in Acts chapter 8. And here you have Philip, who's a deacon in the church, and he goes to Samaria, and he's preaching. And when he preaches, it says, as he preached the good news, the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So they're saved. But they've not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, to just simply put in your mind that you can be saved and have the Spirit of God living in you, but not yet be empowered by the Holy Spirit like He would want you to be. Everybody with me so far? Now watch this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon is a sorcerer, when you read the whole story, a magician, when he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Here's a guy, he's watching Peter and John do this, and he's seeing something physical, something tangible, and when they're receiving the Holy Spirit. I mean, even people who don't believe tongues is for today, honest expositors have to say, or commentators have to say, that they spoke in tongues. That's what we have to assume happened there. So again, you have tongues clearly implied there. There's an outward manifestation that is clear. Something's happened to people. They weren't just sitting there quietly and saying, "I got it." I think I got it, or I feel a whole lot of love right now. All those things are wonderful, but they're not the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Then in Acts chapter 9, you have the story of the Apostle Paul himself and his conversion, and Ananias goes to pray for him, and Paul, remembers, been struck with blindness because he saw Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and Ananias comes, and he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again, and he got up and was baptized. So he was Saul and then was called Paul after that in the Bible. But he got up and was baptized. You say, "Well, it doesn't say he was filled with the Holy Spirit." Well, we know he was. You say, "How do you know?" Because Paul gives the testimonial in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. "I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all." So we know he did. Now, all that to say, God has a gift for you. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When you have received that gift, you will speak in a language you don't know, a prayer language. It will empower you to do things you couldn't do without it. You say, like what? Well, whatever it is you need. Might be to speak with boldness. Might be to, I always think of this. I mean, when I'm preparing to speak, if I want to speak supernaturally, it helps if I pray supernaturally. If my prayer is energized by the Spirit, my words are going to be energized by the Spirit. Paul says this: he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God, and he utters mysteries with his Spirit. In other words, there's a supernatural communication with God, and there's a supernatural revelation, mysteries, things formerly unknown, now revealed. I believe that as I'm praying in the Spirit, God reveals things to me that I need to know to pastor, to lead, to counsel, to direct, to just do life with a dimension of the Spirit's power, and who doesn't want that? I want to live a life that's supernatural. I want to walk in the supernatural grace of the Lord. So I need anything supernatural God wants to do for me, right? Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 7. Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So rivers of living water, not a trickle, not like you turn your faucet on, not like a creek, a river, rivers, several mighty Mississippis flowing out of you, just power surging out of you. This is God's desire. You say, what do I have to do to receive it? All you have to do is ask him. Now, when you read through the book of Acts, and it would be really great for you to do that if you've not received, we're going to pray tonight. If you receive or don't receive yet, either way, read the book of Acts, because it's just like a owner's manual to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's like, wow, this is what goes down when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible uses several different terms. And the terms, I'm going to give you seven of them. I don't know that I'll get to all of them tonight, but let me just read them off to you. One term is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you are from a Baptist background, and so you would say, well, you know, the baptism of the Spirit, where Pentecostals get off is, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we're baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. So, see, Pentecostals are goofed up on this. They don't understand that we're talking salvation. But that's not reading the text clearly. We're baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. What happens is, who is doing the baptizing there? The Spirit is, and so he is baptizing us, and we're brought into the body of Christ. Jesus, though, John said this. John said, there is one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Who's doing the baptizing there? Jesus is. It's different. Jesus will say this, and we're going to look at it in a minute in Acts chapter 1. He says, for you will be baptized with, not by, with the Holy Ghost and fire. So in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is doing the baptizing. In salvation, the Holy Spirit's doing the baptizing. Two different baptisms. Everybody clear on that? That might not be an issue for you, and I maybe have some of you kind of confused, and you're like, man, I don't know what he's saying, but he seems to know what he's saying. So baptism of the Holy Spirit is one term. Clothed with power is another term. Received the Holy Spirit is another term. The Holy Spirit fell on them is another term. Filled with the Holy Spirit is another term. Spirit poured out is another term. And the Holy Spirit coming upon you is another term. All of those describe the same experience, where God's Spirit comes on you, clothes you with power, fills you, where you receive him, and it ushers you into a whole new dimension of Holy Ghost power in your life. Let me just take a moment, and we'll go through three, and then we'll stop, and we'll give you a chance to respond. The first term, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Look at this in Acts chapter 1. And while staying with them, he ordered them, that's Jesus, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, that baptism, that term, baptism or baptized with the Holy Spirit, is such an illustrative term, because it really speaks to what it's about. There are two words in the New Testament used for baptized. One is bapto and the other is baptizo. Both words mean to immerse or to dip. But the Greek word used in Acts 1:5 for baptized is baptizo. And let me illustrate the difference to you this way. There was a Greek poet and doctor by the name of Nicander who lived in 200 BC, and he wrote a recipe for making pickles. Now, you know, a pickle was a cucumber, right? Everybody, and it's changed. Its nature is changed. He said to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped, that's bapto is the word he used, into boiling water, and then baptized in vinegar solution. So that's baptizo. So what he's saying is, bapto, it's dipped in boiling water, that's temporary, that's a short dipping. Baptizo is an immersion for such a long time that it produces a change in the vegetable. It takes it from being a cucumber to being a pickle. So let me put it to you this way. You need to be pickled, okay? You need to be pickled in the Holy Spirit. In other words, you need to be so immersed in the Holy Spirit that it changes you. That it changes your nature, it changes your substance, it changes you. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It's separate from salvation. It is being immersed in His presence. There's a second term that I think is so cool, and I've been thinking a lot about it just today in thinking about this. It's the term clothed with power. And Jesus uses it in Luke chapter 24. He writes this, or he says this, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city." He's saying this to the disciples right before he goes up into heaven. "Until you are clothed with power from on high." Now, what's true about clothing? You weren't born with it. A baby's not born with a diaper. You weren't born with clothing. You have to put clothing on. Now, think about this for just a moment. God is all for modesty in our dress. But even though God's will is that you and I would dress modestly, and God wants us to wear clothing, He doesn't put the clothing on us. We have to put the clothing on. The reason why I say this is because there's a lot of times people want God to do everything for them. So you ask people to come forward to receive, and you say, you know what, as you wait on Him, reach out to Him, and you have to take that step of faith that says, I'm going to take hold of what God wants to do. I'm going to step into it. Some people, though, will come, and they'll stand, and they'll just be real quiet, and they'll just sit there like this. And you know what? You're not going to speak in tongues if you don't speak. You're not gonna have any response to the Lord unless you're responding to the Lord, right? So this clothing with power, it's something that it means to, the word in duo, it means to array, to clothe, to put on. And it's the idea of you're going to be clothed with power. You're going to, God's going to clothe you, but you're also going to clothe, you're going to be clothed. You're going to, you know, it'd be very hard for somebody to put clothing on you if you didn't want the clothing on you, right? I mean, somebody can hold the jacket up, they can hold the vest up, they can hold the overcoat up, but unless you cooperate, it's going to be a wrestling match. It's not probably going to happen. God wants to clothe you with power. He's holding, think of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, him clothing with powers, him holding the coat up and you sticking your arms in and putting it on and saying, "Woo, I feel good, I'm clothed with power," right? That He's clothed you with power. Number three, received the Holy Spirit. Now this is in Acts chapter 8 and verse 17. "Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." That word is an interesting word, received. It's the word lambano in the Greek, and it's used in the Bible in two different ways. It's used 38 times as received, and it's translated 38 times as took. So did they receive it, or did they take it? It's both. Musicians, you can come. On the one hand, you have to receive the gift. On the other hand, you have to take the gift. And what gets a lot of people is they don't step out and take hold of it by faith. They're just like, I want it, but they never take hold of it. For example, and I'm going to illustrate it this way to kind of help you understand it. I've got $20 here. Who wants $20? Show a little enthusiasm. You want $20. Nice try, Daryl. Okay, somebody else, who wants $20? Okay, come on up here. The I have decided, blue shirt. Nice try, you were really close. What's your name?
Shamika.
Shamika, how long have you been coming here?
Today's my first Wednesday, Sunday was my first day.
Oh, wow! Did you give your heart to Christ? She gave her heart to Christ on Sunday. That's awesome. That's really cool. Do you want all that God has for you?
Yes.
I know you do. That's so awesome. Well, I have this $20 bill. Would you really like to have it? Do you really want it? Would it be a good thing? Would it be kind of like a gift for you to get that? Yeah, it'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Well, I have this for you, and I mean, this $20, you can go to Brahms after church.
Actually, we're going to Andy's after church.
Are you really? They're going to Andy's. Wow. Y'all going to want to meet her. Go to Andy's. Man, that'd buy you a few concretes, wouldn't it? Man, I want you to have this. I really do. And if you want it, I really want you to have it. But, yeah. Right. There you go. You got it. That's yours. Now, I want you to think about something there. I can want to give that $20 away. And God isn't like I was with Daryl. He's not like, no! That was good, Daryl. I'm ornery. God's not. But you know what? I can want to give it away. I can know, and she could know what it can buy. She can use it. She's going to Andy's. She needs it. But you know what? I can hold it out to her. I can hold it up to her. I can keep talking and talking about how I want to give it to her. But until she takes hold of it, it's not hers. Did she receive it? Yes. Did she take it? Yes. It's both ways. It's the thing you have to realize about the Holy Spirit. They're by faith. This is where faith comes in. You know, when you got saved, you reached out and you took hold of it by faith. You believed it. You accepted His forgiveness. Let me just read you one thing from Donald G. I'll bring it up on the screen here. In John 7, Jesus said, drink. That action's very simple, for we drink every day to quench our thirst. It is the first thing a newborn learns to do. Drinking does, however, require some action and effort on our part. Drinking is an act of the will. It is exactly the same in the spiritual sense. It seems so simple, and yet it marks the point where many stumble and fail to enter the spiritual experience for which their souls long. They expect their thirst to be quenched without their own act of drinking. The gift has already been promised and is therefore ours for the taking from the hand of Him who loves to give good gifts to His children. We ought not to wrestle and work to receive the Holy Spirit. We may know believers who have come that way or may hear testimonies that run along that line. But the reason for the struggle resided somewhere in the recipients and not in the giver. Peter says it is receiving a gift. Nothing should be more simple and more wholly delightful than that. One more word to those seeking this blessing. Continue until you receive it. We cannot baptize ourselves, neither can we do more than lead one another to the place of blessing. It is Jesus' glorious work to immerse us in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real, definite, vivid experience. Do not be satisfied until you are satisfied.